You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all across the country. And one of the toughest subjects to cover anytime is your overall practice image. And I've got the image expert in all of dentistry, Janice Hurley. And you are not going to want to miss this because she's going to give us some great things to do right away. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. We'll see you in a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show, and I love this stuff, and thank you guys for watching every single day, every single hour. People are watching all over the country. We get good feedback. This is awesome. I love bringing the stuff that you want to talk about, and today is no exception. In a great quality, highly focused, restorative practice, you have to have it all together, and one of the things you're not thinking about is image, and so I brought a good friend of mine on today, Janice Hurley. Now, she's in a category one, and I'm going to let her talk, but I'm going to give my intro of her first. And I got a chance to see you, Janice, probably about 9 to 10 years ago, and it was at the Seattle Study Club Symposium, and she was doing a lecture, and I thought, man, she has got it together. That is awesome. And I learned so much about the stuff we never talk about. And then I've just watched you grow and grow and grow. And recently, last year at the ADMC, which is very nerve-wracking for a speaker, I got a chance to speak to all my colleagues. And so my hands are sweating. I'm like, these are, you know, it's easy to speak to strangers, but when you're speaking to your colleagues, I'm like, oh my gosh. And you were sitting right up in front. And I'm like, oh my gosh, and then afterwards I said, all right, Janice, give me some feedback. And you said, there's a lot you can do, but you said that belt and those shoes, they look tired. They got to go. So what I did was immediately after that, I got rid of them and I got huge, powerful, positive feedback. So thank you for being on. And if somebody doesn't know who you are, who is Janice? Tell us who Janice is.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm considered dentistry's image expert. So as a practice management consultant for the last 23 years in dentistry, my area of expertise at the time used to be systems. So whatever it took to make our doctors as efficient, effective, and overall as profitable as possible, all of that was very important to me. So whether they were looking at their line items for their costs with their lab or their supplies or implementing systems with their staff, all of that was crucial. And in being asked to speak at the large conferences on that subject, I would also show photos before and afters of what the doctors looked like before they worked with me, what the team looked like afterwards. And before you know it, dentistry labeled me as their image expert. And now when I speak on verbal skills, body language, and what it takes to really be seen in the very best light with your patient. And Kirk, I think the reason I felt compelled to tell you about your shoes and your belt, not only because you asked, but I mean, are you Mr. Energy or what on stage, right? Yeah. So you're up there, Mr. Energy, and there was the belt that had seen better days and the shoes that you may or may not have polished over and over again. But it's like, hey, you're a successful person that we want to aspire and listen. So I was just trying to match your visual to your message. So thank you.
And let me also note, too, I asked you for the feedback. You're not one of those people that just comes up and gives unsolicited feedback and says, hey, look, you got to clean yourself up now.
You got to pay me to do that, actually.
Absolutely. Now, I have so much I want to talk to you about because, again, nobody wants to talk about this subject when it comes to the overall practice. But, you know, I'm a little biased. You know, you go to other parts of the world and people really have very good styles. You go to Europe and people are very well dressed and you see the team members. And you come back to the United States, and I've had so many clinicians say this, you can tell a dental office in the United States. I mean, you don't even need to see what they're doing. You go, like, she works in a dental office. And why have we fallen into this pattern where we just look a little tired? And there's some components we're going to break out. But what do you see as far as trends when it comes to your overall image in dentistry?
You know, I think, unfortunately, you're spot on that in the United States, the business owner, which is the dentist, or corporate dentistry, which actually does a better job at it. Corporate dentistry does a much better job at outlining who's going to wear what, and they budget for it accordingly. It's the dentist, the solo practitioner, or a practitioner that maybe in a group practice, but nobody else is dictating to them what needs to be done. They think that, I think twofold, they think it's not important. And then they think that they're going to get resistance from their team members, when in reality, all they need to do is be clear and be consistent. And they absolutely cannot, they can't succeed without that. Do you know that your experience is affected by the visual, right?
Right.
So it's called packaging. You decide by looking at an outside package what it is that you can expect. And oftentimes we have just let this become so-so. So many a client will approach me, and when I ask them what their team attire is, the answer is it's hodgepodge. It's a little bit of this and it's a little bit of that. And unfortunately, they are affecting the experience of the patient, and they're affecting it in a negative way. And so if I can quickly say, I think that sometimes the reason that happens is that long-term dentist who is really excited about, you know, the CEREC and the laser and the cone beam and using all these great technology that we have and getting better and better at their skills, they're back there focusing on the clinical part of it, what's going on back here. Right. When in reality, what they really want to do is attract the type of patient that they want, who's going to be enthusiastic and pay for services that are a lot more than what their insurance is going to cover. So yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's affecting us greatly. And so I don't know why we ignore it, but maybe you're going to help out.
Now, maybe so. So let's go right into the face of it, because you said, you know, corporate dentistry has a better angle on this. But I think what it comes down to is you got to have this all in writing. Now, I'll just speak for a dentist that might be watching this going, you know, Janice, I get what you're saying, but I'm afraid to talk to everybody. As a business owner, you can dictate what everybody wears and how they look. True?
Absolutely. In-N-Out Burger has a uniform different than McDonald's, right? You can tell right away who's on which team, but In-N-Out employees don't decide one day they're going to wear the hat and the next day they're not. That's not
right.
The way.
Right. So let's go there. Now, I have so many questions. One of my questions is, you know, you used, you know, the hodgepodge. It's so funny you say that, because we go into office, I'm like, hodgepodge uniforms, they have, you know, different colored scrubs and things like that. My question is, do you do business attire in the business area? Do you have uniform in the back? Are we dentists do lab coats? Let's just fly into it. What are you seeing that provides the best image? And what would you suggest in those areas?
Sure. First and foremost, just like you said, you have to decide to put it in writing. So one of the gifts to your audience is that they can go to my website, which is www.janicehurley.org, Dentistry's Image Expert. And there's a PDF there that outlines just where you could start. So in terms of hair, makeup, front desk, back office, what would the suggestions be? And then make it your own. But, you know, whether you're in South Carolina or you're in Carlsbad, California, looking well-groomed and looking like you're part of the team needs to be essential. So it's not something anybody needs to vote on, Kirk. I've been to classes where sometimes the speaker will say, well, get your team together and see what they agree on. Baloney. Mm-hmm. They just forget that. So let's start with the back office.
Okay.
So I think that there's some great scrubs out there. Just like you said, you've seen those uniforms in Europe, right? They're higher quality material. They don't need to be pressed. They hold their form. But the key is that they have some shape to them. So you don't want something that gets big, right? Up at the top. You want something that's fitted. So whether I have a team member that's a size 2 or a 22W, there's going to be a uniform for them, a scrub that's for them. So you fit them first in the shoulders, make sure it has a waist to it. And in terms of pants, I think that the top and the bottom should match when they wear the scrubs. Recently had a doctor hire me, and when he ran the numbers, he chose to only pay for the team members to get their tops done. And I think he's missing the point. Right. This item will make you money. It's crucial as you're figuring out what you need to spend on your lab expenses and so forth. So, and then in the back, make sure that you have decided what color shoes, and you can't dictate that everybody wears the same shoe because everybody's, you know, foot size, shape is different, but choose the color and the material and pay for it. So Kirk, from head to toe, they need to have everything paid for. And it's the same outfit. It's an old school way of doing things when they would wear red on Monday, blue on Tuesday, green on Wednesday. That's been there, done that. Okay. So there's your answer on your clinical attire. And I like the whole team to look the same in the back. If you have a higher end practice or you want people to perceive your dentistry as higher quality, put your team in lab jackets. The logo should be over there on the upper left-hand side. The name tag should be up here right above your scapula. So right below this bone right here is where you need to have your name tag. And if it's straight across, you're going to look more organized than if it's skewed to the side. And be as specific on the pants as the color and the material, but let people choose their own pants. I love a crisp blouse, collared blouse, Lands' End permanent press blouse. And you can choose whether you send them to the cleaners and pay for that. That's what I would do. Or there's a company that I love, but it's started by a hygienist and it has a lining inside that allows the doctor to stay cooler and other people, members in the practice, to stay warmer. So it alters your body temperature. So that's a big deal. So now let's talk about the front. Okay. We talk about the front. All right. So I like professional attire. On my website, you'll see photos of staff members before when they were wearing scrubs and then photos of them afterwards when we put them in a jacket or a sweater or something. And I mean a button-down sweater. So anytime you put a woman with a little bit of shoulder pads on her or you layer her look, it's because it's normally women at the front desk, you're going to give her a more stronger sense of authority. So that when she feels better, right, she's going to look better. She's going to feel better. When it's time for her to offer that next appointment, she does it with more confidence. So you want that team member to say, let me give you my next available appointment. That's Tuesday at 2 or Wednesday at 3. Which would you prefer? You don't want that team member whose body language says, I'm just the girl at the front. I'm, you know, part-time here. It doesn't look like I really and very important. So at the front desk, professional attire is crucial. So again, let me give you some specifics. About every 6 months, you need to budget $500 for the front desk to add to their wardrobe because they're going to be having some specifics as to what that wardrobe should look like. But this is going to make you money.
Right.
Make you money without a doubt. So I love lab jackets. I love well-fitted scrubs. Twice as Nice is the name of the uniform company. Twice as nice. Thank you. And then up at the front desk, I like a closed-toed shoe. And pants are fine, but again, a jacket or layering and being very specific. And hair worn up in the back?
Yes, that was my question because I get that question. Down or up? And I have my own opinions, but up, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, up all the way up, and whether that's the doctor or a hygienist or the assistant. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then as far as the uniformity of what happens up at the front, now, when it comes to business attire, I heard you say this before, you kind of have to go with the uniqueness of the body shape. Like you just can't put everybody in black, you know, business attire up front because it's not going to fit the same way for everybody. Is that true?
Very good. Exactly. I'm so glad you listened to me.
I do.
Oh, good. So your goal with your team members up front is that they look as attractive and successful as possible. Studies tell us that we're drawn towards people that we perceive as being successful. I mean, think about it, Kirk. Nobody's drawn to somebody that looks like a loser, right? And attractive, we're just naturally drawn towards that person. And attractive actually usually means that you look as fit and healthy as possible and you look well-groomed. So that doesn't mean your parents had the perfect genetics and gave you the perfect eyes or other aspects. It means that you care about yourself. So what that can entail is that one color for you might be different flattering wise than a color for someone else, and particular for body shapes. Right. Let me give you an example if I could. Tom and Donna Frank, who have a fabulous office in Bakersfield, California, they sent a team member to one of my courses. And in this course, it was, you know, a program. She heard the fact about layering and wearing a jacket. And so she went back to the office. The doctors gave her a budget and she bought pants and she bought jackets, but she bought jackets with shoulder pads in them. And she bought pants that were really actually too short for her. And so when she sent me the after photos and she was all proud about it, the doctor wasn't as enthusiastic. So he said, what could or should we do differently? And what I did was analyze her body type and realized that, oh my goodness, softer materials were better for her, softer colors, not black, not navy, because she had that figure that is more of a man's figure where the shoulders are broader and the waist and hips are narrower. So they sent her down to San Diego and I spent a day with her. We changed her hair, her makeup and her clothing, and the doctor was pleased. So before and after, extremely impactful, extremely.
Yeah, now I'm gonna piggyback on the makeup thing too, because And that's one. First of all, you know, as a man, makeup, how do you suggest? But there are some offices you go in and you go, whoa, there's too much makeup going. Like, are there guidelines for makeup in a dental office?
Yes. The general idea is that nothing stands out. You shouldn't notice my eyeshadow or notice my earrings. You should just get a general perception of me that I'm a confident, well-groomed person. So I tell team members to go to the larger stores. You can go to a Nordstrom. If you're on the younger side, go to Bobbi Brown, and it doesn't cost any money. And tell them that what you want is a conservative, professional makeup look. And so eyebrows need to be done. You can go to the kiosk Anastasia in Nordstrom's because there's actually a science to where your eyebrows should be. So you've got these great eyebrows, Kirk, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they're just perfect. They come in where they're supposed to.
Can you do anything about this up here, though?
Yeah. It's your look. It's your look. Besides shine it, no, I think that you're good to go. And then older women, they would do better with sometimes a Chanel product because they're trained for skin that is older and needs that consideration. So, and in the back, less makeup is better than more. And be careful about false eyelashes these days. So they're very popular. And again, if somebody can immediately tell you've got false eyelashes on, then that's a problem. So Ask about tattoos and men's beards.
Wait. I've got a list. Okay, I'm going to go right into the eye of the storm.
To your bad stuff.
Now, We're shooting this live on Facebook. So if you want to ask a question too, just put it in the feed and I'll ask her. But I'm going to ask you, okay, let's go right into it. And I'll start with the easy one. A lot of dentists, tie or no tie? So that's a good one.
Okay. Can I just say first that I love a man in a tie? Okay. And so the color of a tie ends up communicating something about a man. So if a man wants to look stronger, a little bit sexy, can you say sexy?
Yeah, you can say sexy.
I can say sexy. Okay.
You can say whatever you want. Nobody's editing this except us.
Yeah. Put red in a tie. So If you wanted to appear a little stronger, more confident, for whatever reason, we're attracted to that color red. Now, you never want red in scrubs, so we'll make sure about that. So let's talk about the tie. Sometimes the number one objection to a tie is that it feels uncomfortable, right? It's too tight. When in reality, it's not the tie that's too tight. It's the shirt that you purchased in the first place. So you purchased a shirt based on the color, or your wife or someone else purchased it for you, your partner, and you didn't wear a tie with it. So you wore it open most of the time. Now comes that special event and you go to put your tie on and you button your shirt. And now is when you decide that tie is too tight. When it's not the tie, it was that the neck size on your shirt is too small.
Right.
So you used to be a 16 and a half and now you're a 17 inch neck. So you've got to keep up with that sometimes. So here's my optimal for the most part. I love walking in an office, whether it's a young dentist, which is maybe even more important, who's got a crisp collared shirt on, lab jacket, dress pants, comfortable shoes that they can wear, and they've got a tie. Do they have to wear a tie every day? I don't know. I'm big on consistency. So if you think communicating to your patients that you respect them is helpful with a tie, then I love it. There's no downside to wearing a tie. How about if I go with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and then the other thing too, if you're going to wear scrubs, so we do see this, what about the scrubs that go to a V and you got the chest hair coming out?
I think I told you once my theory on that. I think it's that men, when they got chest hair at 13 and 14, were really, really excited about it. So they're still excited about it, and it continues to grow because the hair on our head is directionally challenged, right? So we lose it here. We get it on our ears, our nose, and in our chest. And in truth, if you're going to wear scrubs and it's got a little bit of a V-neck, don't do the Dr. Oz. I don't want to see Dr. Oz's bad chest and too much hair. Wear a t-shirt underneath if you must. But otherwise, not very flattering. And no one will tell you.
One will say a word. You'll just look at it and go, oh, that's like, because people aren't attracted to hair anywhere other than here. Now, let's stay on the subject of hair, because my wife always complains I can't hear as well. I blame it on the hair that's coming out of my ear. And you don't see it. You can't see it. So, like, being a dental professional, what do we do about hair growing? And it keeps coming out of the nose, too. So what do you do?
Yeah. You really have to understand that it exists. So you don't have to think about it for it to grow. Right. And that means about every 2 to 3 days, you might need to ask your wife, or every one of us has to have a magnifying mirror that's lit. And it has to be magnified 3 to 5 times. Okay. So start with the ears. You're absolutely right. We don't see our own ears, right? Right. Let's add that to the list of things people don't see. They don't see their teeth, their shoes, or the ear hairs. So now we have 3 things, right?
Yeah.
And so that means you might need some help, or there's appliances, small, inexpensive. They can run as little as $15 to $35, and you can just trim them. And the nose probably needs to be trimmed, depending on your age and your genetics, probably every 5 to 6 days. But it's just upkeep. And it's the number one mistake that men make in general, right? They don't think it matters. But as a dentist, particularly your new patients, they're noticing everything. And you are so close to us, right? You turn sideways and we see your ears. And you've got the mask on, but then you take the mask off and then I see your nose hairs. And my goodness.
Now, you know how this is too. Let's just say it. I mean, there's sometimes you're talking to people this close and you're like, wow, that nose hair is so long. I bet you he could touch it with his tongue. Like you can't hear anything somebody says. And you're like, wow, that is a really long nose hair. That's why you've got to be hyper. Oh, the eyebrows too. They grow amok and they go way out. Yeah.
So every time you get your hair cut, and your stylist says, hey, Kirk, can I trim those eyebrows for you? The answer is yes.
Absolutely. Go for it. Now,
back of the neck. All right. So you don't see the back of your neck, do you?
Right. No, you don't.
You have hair in the back of your neck, but everyone else can, right?
You don't.
So that quarterback that's playing in the, professional football and NFL playoffs, his stylist groomed the back of his neck because, right, he needs to be picture perfect. We have to be picture perfect every day as well. So the darker your hair, the more often you need to actually shave the back of your neck. And so you either need to do it yourself or get somebody to help you. But probably every 2 to 3 days, check out the back of your neck. We make the mistake, or men make the mistake, of thinking they don't need to shave that unless they get a haircut. So, enough about hair.
Well, no. I've got a couple other questions too. Now, this isn't just a men bashing session. There's women that need help in this too. And let's just say it. There are some dentists that have really bad breath or really bad teeth, and you're a dental professional. Now, no one says anything. They just it's like, don't say a word. What do we do? Where do we start? Like, how's that all work?
I think there's some advantage as a team to take photos from head to toe to see how you're projecting yourself. I think there's an advantage to taking close up of our own smiles and using a staff meeting to say, all right, what looks healthy and what doesn't. And as a business owner, you absolutely have to have already calendared and scheduled when your team members are coming in for periodic exams or their hygiene visits, depending on their overall health and genetics. And without that, without your making sure that yourself and your team are projecting the very best in dentistry, you're missing the point. You're spending all this money on Google ads or your marketing programs. And when they actually meet you, we're going, oh my God, look at that awful front tooth. They don't know that it's an old PFM, but it's not a good representation. So let's talk about bad breath or smelling. So let's say the doctor can't smell themselves, no longer smells their breath. It's that dental assistant that's the closest to them, that dental assistant assistant that sits that doctor down and says, ah, Dr. DuPont, I think the world of you. You just do the best dentistry possible. And I would want you to tell me if I had this situation, but your breath, you know, and then talk about their breath. So you have to do it in love. You have to do it at the end of the day. And then you also might want to make sure that he or she is also on the schedule for their regular hygiene care.
All right. Now, also, too, it isn't just for the dentist. You know, there are team members, too. So how would you say that? Is it, I'm a dentist watching this. I'm like, how would I say that to a team member?
So if you already have a team member, you want to make sure that another team member might be the person to gently tell it. You want to make sure it's whoever you know has that trust. So how we accept something really has to do with who's going to tell us in the first place. But if you have a program in place and you are willing to put into your overall expense that you do pay, right? You pay for their hygiene appointments, you pay for their restorative care. There isn't a team member on board that shouldn't have already experienced your new patient exam, right?
Right. Totally agree.
I can't brag about you if I haven't experienced you. And then in terms of hiring, I think we talked about this before, Kirk. When you're hiring a new team member and you don't see optimal visual on their teeth, you have a choice. You're either going to fix it, which means you pay for it, or you're not going to hire that person because you cannot have them marketing every day at your practice and not representing the very best. So that's the cold, hard facts, right? You're either going to change that appearance, you're going to whiten their teeth, you're going to give them an optimal visual, or don't hire them.
Yeah. And this is really sad statement of affairs. And I don't know if you agree with this, but when it comes to the interview, Janice, have you found this? It never gets better than the interview. I mean, people don't like show up 3 weeks later and they look amazing more so than the interview. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And there's two other things you absolutely cannot change. You could change your teeth, but you can't change their level of self-esteem, and you can't change, let me put this up, you can't change their grammar. So we make a mistake of not hiring people until we absolutely need them. Right. And we don't take enough time. So you need to see them multiple times.
Absolutely. So now I've got a couple of people who are asking some really good questions here. As far as the nails, so Crystal asked the question, my biggest issues are nails, manicured, clean hands. What about a hygienist or assistant's nails? What would you say about that?
So in some states, acrylic nails are illegal. You can't wear them in the back because they're not considered sanitary. So my guidelines for the back office is that the nails are short. They can have a gel, but it needs to be a neutral nail polish, and for sure nothing fluorescent, and preferably not red or burgundy. So choose as neutral of a nail polish as possible and short. Now for the front desk, things have changed. And so at the front desk, you could wear some color. You could even wear a dark purple or a red or a burgundy, but the key is it's really short. So things have changed. You know, we don't need to be old school. We need to be a little bit on trend. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, sounds good. Now, any other things that we should speak to that are a little taboo with female dentists and their wear? And I just remembered, I also want to ask you about the shoes and belt on a male. So female dentists, anything that you would just say, okay, here are some quick things that I would be aware of?
Yeah, be really careful about wearing any type of an open-toed shoe. A closed-toed shoe is going to look more clean and professional within a practice. And pants, for the most part, are favored so that you can comfortably, you know, be where you need to be in position with that chair. Please no cleavage. So you want to know what you look like when you're bending down over the patient, and minimalize the makeup, but make sure that you do wear some makeup. You might need to reapply your lipstick and a little powder at lunch, but so what? And in general, either your hair needs to be short enough that it doesn't fall down when the patient looks at you, or you too need to wear your hair back and make it look like it was done with consideration. So no colored ties, no out-of-date banana clips. Make it look like you've got a up-to-date Chanel or something. So do a good job.
Yeah. Now, you also taught me this. There are two things that people do not notice when it comes to their own dress that have huge impacts on other people. What are the two things?
You know, we don't notice our teeth, as we talked about. And so we notice other people's teeth, but we need to be able to be comfortable with our own teeth and what they look like. I remember taking a course down at UCLA about diagnostic course. And one of the things that they had each attendee there do, so that's the dentist is take photos of their own teeth. And those are some of the unfortunate worst teeth I've ever seen. So you have to be willing to do that. But the other thing is shoes.
Right.
So for whatever reason, you know, I'm standing here. I don't see what my shoes look like. You know, Jeffrey sees my shoes, my host today. But you don't see yours and I don't see mine. So in particular, the back of our shoes often get scuffed because as we're driving to work, unless we take our shoes off, the back of the shoe gets scuffed. The front toe gets worn out. And so sometimes people today have not been trained how to take care of their shoes. So they've not been taught how to use shoe trees. They've not been taught how to use polish on their shoes. And your shoes in one adjective communicate in general how you feel about yourself. So if you look down at your shoes and they look too casual, and if someone says to me, well, I want comfortable shoes, I tell them there's the Echo brand. There's all kinds of brands that are made for you to be comfortable. But anytime you have a rubber sole on your shoe, if it's not dark colored like the rest of the shoe, it looks more like an athletic shoe. You're communicating that you're just not maybe as respectful to your patient or yourself. Yeah. And shoes wear out.
So they do.
They don't wear out as fast for men as they do women, but it matters. I think I told you about a dentist who had brought me in to help him train himself and the team on treatment presentation. He wanted to do the higher end cases. And so you're sitting there presenting $30,000 worth of restorative work to a patient and your shoes look old and tired. And so I associate you a little bit with your shoes.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, too, you do so much study on this. You taught me about the economic areas when it comes to the attire of your team. It's more important in areas that aren't so economically thriving. It's important to notice the dynamic in the investment of the attire and why, because this is really good.
Good point. What I said was that the lower economic group pool of team members that you draw from, right? Mm-hmm. The lower their economic status is, it makes it extra important that you don't buy inexpensive uniforms. You're not going for the cheapest, right? You're probably going for the highest quality and you're looking for the best fit because you as a doctor and a business owner are going to have control over their attire.
Right.
You're not going to have control over how well they physically take care of themselves. Oftentimes the way they color their hair. So the less money they have, the more likely they are to be doing their hair at home. And so it can be over bleached, over processed. They just don't have the same background for being able to take care of themselves or their finances. So take control over what you do have, which is buy uniforms from head to toe. And in terms of the front desk, oftentimes you're going to need to spend a little bit more money or be a little bit more specific in terms of the high quality of the materials because left to their own, they might be shopping for those clothes in Target or Walmart, which are fine if you don't have to wear them very much. But actually, they're going to wear these clothes 5 days a week, hopefully over 6 months, a year period of time. So think higher quality and it will... You know what? It increases their self-esteem. And women, when we feel like we look good, we do better.
Oh, when you look good, you feel good. You know how it is. You know, a hair appointment is a make it or break it for a man. I mean, not that I have hair, but when my wife gets a hair appointment, comes home and she feels good about it, we're golden. Everybody's good. So she came home this week and she liked her hair. And we were like, you know how that works. So I totally get it. Now, the other thing, too, that I love about your systems. Now, we're going to talk about this because, Janice, this is a difficult subject. So if you're watching this, there's two things I'm going to ask you to do and you struggle with this. Number one, if you don't want to talk about any of this stuff and introduce it, send a copy of this video that you might be thinking, we need to talk about our breath and our dress and just say, we're going to have a conversation about it. The second thing is you do an audit. Like you will come to somebody's office and audit. Is it a 30-point audit? Is it 20? How do you do that? So you take all of these things and boom, 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 boom. And you give feedback in such a way that you could say something that you're like, okay, you just got to clean this up and you don't feel bad about it. You know, so how does that work? How do you do that?
Yeah, I do a 30-point in-office assessment. So maybe some of the larger practice management groups where you get one person one time and another consultant another. It's just me. And so I'll talk to the doctor ahead of time. We schedule a date. I find out from her or him what those delicate areas are that we'd like to talk about. Maybe it's cell phone use. Maybe it's chewing gum. Maybe it's not arriving on time for the morning huddle. But I have a 30-point checklist. So I go in and we spend half of the day going over that checklist. And it could be from what the message on hold sounds like, from what the bathroom looks like, to what the parking looks like, what the photos are within your practice. I mean, right. The photos that you should be using or are not using on your website or on your review sites. And then in the afternoon, I stay when you have patients and I review, you know, I get to see what's really actually going on. And then we make another time when I come 3 months, you know, there's got to be some accountability. So I come back for a half day and 3 months from then. And during that time, we have conference calls. We get to look to see how your progress is. We get to look to see how you're doing with that welcome sign or how are you doing implementing the uniform. So it's a 3 month program with accountability and very, very specific checklists.
Yeah. So you can do something about somebody's nose hairs and just say, look, your nose hairs got to go and type of thing and make them all disappear. Now, the other thing too is I like what you're saying. So you recommend, and even if they weren't, they should have you come. I'm just thinking a good thing for an office to do is just have you once a year. And I'm sure you have clients say, can you just come out and do this once a year? Cause I'm so focused on working on teeth and technology that I lose focus on the other things that patients are looking at. So having a system, the other part about it is you said once every 6 months, I'm looking at my notes here, you should have kind of like explain that. So every 6 months, you're going to make a reinvestment into the clothing upgrade. So how would that work? And again, I'm going to keep reiterating the fact is the dentist pays for it, right?
Absolutely. Right. It's got to be on the calendar. Just like the same way you make sure your equipment is working like it's supposed to. Right. That means every 6 months, you need to have budgeted enough money that the back office has uniforms that they need from top to bottom, and that the front desk minimal, the front desk gets $500 a month. It's just a part of what it takes to be as profitable as possible. Because, you know, in reality, what costs us the most, right, Kirk,
right,
is the reduced payments that we get from insurance carriers. So what if you upped your game so you could drop 10 of those atrocious plans? Or what if your team felt more confident so that they could present and get case acceptance on higher dentistry, you know, that is a choice by the patient. This absolutely makes you money. It doesn't cost you money. It's a necessity. Nobody's out there functioning without a high speed handpiece anymore. Right. Are they? No, nobody's saying, let me stick with the slow speed because it costs less money. So
yeah.
I think in a nutshell, that's the goal.
You said it's for the viewers watching. You said $500 a month, but you meant $500 every 6 months, right?
Every 6 months. I apologize.
Okay, good. I just want a clarification because I'm doing the math. I'm like, okay. And one of the things that you and I completely agree on, I think there's no better investment. You know, people talk about investments, you know, real estate, Sarah, there's no better investment than these people, the people investing.
Yeah. In your business. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now I got to ask you about the golf shirts. Cause I see people just go, oh, we're just going to do golf shirts. You have an opinion on golf shirts.
Oh, a strong one. So I have walked in offices where they have women in golf shirts and there is nothing attractive. There isn't a woman out there that can look good in a golf shirt. They're not cut to fit your body. So you need it to fit through here. The shoulders are almost always hanging out there and there's no crispness and form to a golf shirt. So there's nothing flattering about it. And the other thing about golf shirts in terms of the dentist wearing them, okay, first and foremost, they're just way too relaxed. It makes it look like you just stepped in from your game of golf. And what I want you to look like is that you're honored to be present with whomever your patient is. The way you dress, like for a wedding or a party or a special occasion, you dressed to honor yourself and to honor your patient. And maybe in a too brutal of a statement, but you better make sure you got everything going on underneath. That physique better be perfect, spot on, and lean if you're ever going to wear a golf shirt anyway, because it's very unforgiving on a man. So there isn't a golf shirt out there that I think is attractive. And here's the number one excuse that men use to wear a golf shirt. They say, well, I don't want to scare off my patients by wearing a lab jacket. And the golf shirt is more warm and friendly, when in reality, it's actually your face. It's your body language. It's the look of delight that you have on your face when you first see one. You absolutely are going to forget whether I'm wearing a golf shirt or a lab jacket. And studies actually tell us still to this day that patients equate lab jackets with high quality providers. So whether it's their physician or their dentist, right? It's to honor them. Quick story as we wrap up, if I could. I had a doctor in Reedley, California, and his team had picked out the uniforms for the office. So they had kind of a pastel pants, and then they had a patterned top and no patterns on your scrubs at all. So anyways, pastel and pinks and purples and V-neck and so forth. And as he started taking higher and higher courses on cosmetic dentistry, wanted to attract a higher end patient, he switched to a lab jacket, a tie and a shirt, and making sure that the lab jacket is no longer than the middle of your thigh. And the progress and the impact that it had on both the confidence of the dentist and the practice was amazing. I'll never forget that. So I actually use that photo in some of my courses that I give. I show up the photo and I say, so where's this doctor from? And everyone says Hawaii. And I say, nope, Reedley, California, farming town. And then where's this doctor from? And they're like, oh my God, it's like night and day. So anyway. Yeah,
that's awesome. Now I have to ask you about this too, because I run into this. What goes in here as a patient has a dramatic impact on their overall perception. So I've got to ask you about perfume and cologne. And then I also want to ask you, you know, there are a lot of times you do this too. You're walking down the hallway and you're like, oh my gosh, there's dental offices on this floor. I can just smell that they're dental offices. Yeah. So what would we do about that?
So you're right. The only thing that makes a stronger impression than visual is smell, your olfactory senses. So if you're next to a smoker and you don't smoke, you're going to notice and make a judgment about somebody that smokes, right?
Right.
Somebody has perio, we right away notice that. A man that wears too much cologne, and sometimes a man that wears too much cologne came from the innocence of another woman complimenting him. The woman said, oh my God, you smell good. So I'm really careful, even if a man does smell good in a, just the right sense, I'm careful about telling him, because I know oftentimes what happens is he goes home and goes, oh my God, if some is good, more is better.
That is so true. More cologne. We want the supersized.
A little bit more. And so you're absolutely right. Our nose no longer smells the smells in a dental practice. So there are products that you can use. Some of them come from treating buildings or things that had fires in them, but there are ways for you to get out those dental smells, but you can't trust your nose. So a smoker no longer smells that they smoke. Somebody with perio can't tell that they have periodontal disease, and we can no longer smell what it smells like in our office. So yeah, that's good. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And I do have to ask you about the smoking too, because there are times people beat the interview and you go, this, she's not a smoker. And then you find out later, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm a high quality restorative practice. And you see your team member smoking a cigarette legally. I mean, I don't know where to start with this. You tell me, what do you do?
Well, a couple of things. One of the things is you have them in multiple times. You walk them to their car.
Ooh, very good.
The car and the clothing will smell like it. So they'll be hard pressed to not smell multiple times. But, you know, I just recently spoke at Chicago Midwinter. I'm speaking next week at AECD. I spoke at Hinman. And I'm surprised at the number of dental caregivers that actually do smoke. So that's quite the burden that they have to bear. So that's tough. They just need to be especially ardent about covering that up if they can. Yeah.
Okay. So I just appreciate this so much. And I could ask you 30 to 40 more questions, because this issue is such a difficult issue. Because a lot of times people go into dentistry, they want to be liked and they care about people. And you know the implications of being, you know, feeling bad when you get critical advice. And this is important advice. Now, if you're watching this, Janice, you have two websites. You have a regular professional website, and then you also have a dental website. Tell us about those two.
Yeah, if you Google my name, my website is just my name, JaniceHurley.com, and it has a lot of before and afters, and it addresses the fact that corporate does hire me. So whether it's Wells Fargo or PayPal or Aetna, corporations hire me to talk about this subject of body language, verbal skills, and, you know, visual is one part of it. And then I have a website that's called Dentistry's Image Expert, and it has the specifics of the programs that I'll be teaching and where I'll be teaching, and the 30-point program, as well as some really good videos for your teams to watch on handshake and communication skills. So yeah, and I welcome any questions. I'm active on Facebook, as are you, and I welcome any email questions. I can do that.
Yeah, go ahead and ask her a question again in the feed. And I'm just going to say this. Get her to do a head-to-toe 30-point because she's going to find something that you're going to have to work on. And chances are you don't see this, but everybody else sees it. And Janice, I say this all the time. You hate it when I say this, but you're the best-dressed woman in all of dentistry, hands down. I mean, you look sharp. And I'm going to have you completely revamp my wardrobe here soon. So just check it out. Janice does great stuff. And Janice, you and I are going to do another one on the use of video and all the other things, the visual, because you have a lot of great tips on photography and everything. And so we're going to have everybody look out for that. So thank you so much for being on, Janice. I'm so grateful. And if you're watching this, we're super grateful that you're watching this. Again, please add any questions you have to feed. Or if there's other subjects that you want to hear from Janice, add them to the feed and I'll get her back on multiple times and we'll take them apart, go right into the difficult issues. So until we see you next time, thank you for watching the Best Practices Show. Have an awesome day. Thank you, Janice.